Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. Thank you for your business. Thank you for the food. Are you telling your customers that? Your new customers say thank you for the business. The ones you've known for a while say thank you for the food. I appreciate it. My children love you for the shoes they're getting. Whatever it takes, folks, make sure that your customers know how much you appreciate them. I promise you. It's one of the cheapest investments, one of the cheapest things you can do. It is the least expensive thing that you can do to endear yourself to your customers. They like being thanked. Their money is important to them. It's valuable to them. And they like the idea that when you take it from them, you are grateful that they gave it to you. Don't take it lightly. Their money's a big deal to them. So thank them for their money. It really irritates me when I go somewhere and they just take my money like it was hay or something, or straw, or dirt. And of course, you know what I do? I've told you this before, much to the chagrin of my family. I stand there and say, "Don't you want to thank me for what I just did with you?" And then if I get an attitude from them, I stand there a little bit longer. And I don't know if Arky C. and Cuddy agrees with me on this, but I suspect he does. Arky is an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, one of the guys that we turn to on a regular basis and have now for many years when we want to talk about trust. He's the co-author of the book Built on Trust, and our good friend, Dr. Arky C. and Cuddy. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. My pleasure, and I do very much agree with you. I think acknowledgement, authentic acknowledgement, is one of the least expensive ways, just as you say, to get more of what you want.
Are you amazed at how much seeming disengagement and apathy there is between people who take your money and the transaction? Are you amazed at that?
I am, but I think that there's a good explanation for the distance. I mean, look at how much eye contact people have with each other just on the street. And some of it is from politeness, so-called, I would say, false politeness. But there is a fear, I think, a pervasive fear of contact with people. And this fear that we have, some of us more than others, you know, of course. There are reasons for it. You could say, it's justified. I think somebody the other day didn't seem appreciative of it and so forth and so on. You know, we all have bad experiences, as we call it, a history of mistrust, which adds to the difficulty of establishing trust anew. Mm-hmm. But it does not surprise me, because I see it every day, this distance that we place. The extreme is in the workplace, where you see the them versus us, particularly between functions or layers of management.
And sometimes the them versus us is between the employee and the customer.
I think always, Jim.
My goodness, how could that even be possible? I can't even comprehend how that could be a reality.
It's because it takes a little bit of emotional work, not much. You don't have to go to therapy, you know, but it takes a little bit of emotional work and intention. In other words, if you lie back and wait for trust to come your way, or one of these days I'm going to get a boss, or one of these days I'm going to get a CEO reporting to me who I can trust. If you lie back and wait, you're never going to get there, you know, unless you're very, very lucky. You can do it yourself. You can take that initiative. But you do have to recognize, first of all, you have to want to do it, and you have to recognize that we all have this, we've all been burned, that we have this history of mistrust, and that we go about, you know, thinking of people sometimes in categories. Well, you know, if he's a detail person, he's not going to work for me, et cetera, et cetera. So you have to recognize where you come from, recognize how you might be participating as a leader, how you might be participating in a difficulty. And that way, you start to lose enemies and gain potential people that you can work with in a non-secretive, transparent, high execution non-us versus them manner.
Right.
And as you say, the contact is important. And where we lose in our businesses most is between the functions.
Well,
you know, most departments run pretty well, but it's between the departments.
Between them, yeah. But here's the thing against me, though, and I see this in big companies especially, but unfortunately, and this makes me sick to my stomach, I see it in small businesses too.
Yes.
And it really upsets me when I see how much money these companies spend, large and small, on product development, marketing, material development, you know, all this kind of stuff, and all the things that they do to get the stuff out the door. And then when the actual humans come together, there's a complete disconnect. And I'm going to talk about that when we come back after these messages. 20 till, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Dr. R.K.C. and Cuddy is our guest. His book is called Built on Trust. And this is Van Halen to take us out. Welcome back. It's 17 till. Little Atlanta rhythm section for you. Singing one of what I consider to be basically what ought to be the small business theme song. Got to do it or die. Even when times get tough, you still got to keep going. And so those are words you and I can live by. I think I do. I know you probably do. If you survive, you probably do. Welcome back. 17 till. I think I said that. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Small Business Advocate.com is one of my websites. I hope you'll check it out and use it to your advantage. Lots of stuff there that'll help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And, of course, our knowledge base is askjim.biz. Use that to your advantage, too. No barriers to entry. No passwords or usernames. If you show up, we'll let you come in and use our stuff to your little heart's content. And if you go there, you'll find R.K.C. and Cuddy all over our stuff because he's been a member of our Brain Trust for a long time. He's the co-author of Built on Trust, Dr. R.K.C. and Cuddy. And we're talking about trust, Arky, and about I really want to stay focused on the customer, because
yeah.
that's an area you and I haven't spent a lot of time talking about. We talked a lot about the internal teams, the internal silos, the fiefdoms, and I've used your fiefdom example a lot. And I'll tell you something, Arky. The fiefdom thing, at least I think you're the one. I don't know. I've been using that for a long time.
Yes.
Fiefdom, when you talk about that, believe it or not, that term resonates more than silos does, more than when you're trying to explain people. I found this, folks, in my articles and in some of the speeches I've given, some of the little audio pieces I've done, Arky, that term fiefdom resonates with people. I've had more comments on that than almost anything else. People say, fiefdoms, what tell us more about that? And when I do, they say, yeah, we got that. But that's internal. There are the external application of trust is with the customer.
That's right.
Now, and we've got to get better at this, Arky.
Yes. What you want to remember with your customers, first of all, trust is confidence, and you know that confidence is what sells. But it's also in combination with a track record. So there's a couple of mistakes you don't want to make with your customers. One, as you say, don't feel like you're entitled to your customer.
Exactly.
Because your
that's
job...
That's a death wish.
That's correct. Your job is to earn trust with each and every one of those customers. And again, you do that with confidence and a track record. So it means that you produce closure with your customers. In other words, you make a promise, and the promise has a time, a delivery time, a quality... some quality benchmarks, et cetera, and you meet those. If you cannot meet those, but for some unforeseen reason, which should be a true exception, not the rule, you let people know immediately. That's number one, is you produce closure and you deliver. And then number two is you don't say yes when you mean maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You say maybe when you mean maybe, and you give the qualifications, and you earn trust by showing them how hard you're going to work for it and how much you care about what their detail needs are, et cetera, et cetera. And you do a lot of listening, and I think the key is you have to earn their trust. You are not entitled to their trust.
Well, so they walk up and say, could I have this so-and-so? Can we do this or that? And so you would say, let's see what we can do about that.
That's right. And that's the beginning of a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's not. You don't say, "Well, we don't do things that way."
Right. Say, let's give it a try and see what happens.
Yeah.
Because that's all. That's all people want to hear, isn't it?
Yes. And they want you to get to the bottom line of their needs. And maybe the bottom line of their needs is not fully expressed in that first request or demand to you. So that what they're doing is they're inviting you to have a conversation, and the conversation does not start with
mm-hmm.
no,
mm-hmm.
but it also doesn't start with yes when it's maybe, when the real answer is maybe. So it's a conversation that you're having, and that's the way through this conversation and through delivering on what results from the conversation, that's how you're earning
well,
trust.
Well, because see, if you tell them, yes, we can do it, and you wind up doing something less, then you've got to say, I'm sorry we didn't do it. But if you say, let's see what we can do, let's try it, let's give it a try, and then you don't hit the mark that they asked for, you know, then maybe what you did is just fine.
Yeah.
And but basically what you've done is you've made them feel like you're their partner. They can trust you now. You know, let me throw out a simple one. And I keep coming back to the fast food thing, because I think this is ground zero for what we're talking about. Is somebody, you know, folks, what if you got employees waiting on somebody in a fast food restaurant, and instead of just shoving the bag out and not even looking at you, which has happened to me before, Arky.
Yes.
They say, hey, I see you got a couple little kids there. I put a couple extra napkins in there for you. Thank
mm-hmm.
you for your business. Now,
yes.
Where am I going to come back next time? Absolutely.
Yes.
And I know this is sounds like customer service, but now I'm trusting that person to care about my situation, about me, and that's a big deal, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Caring is a big deal in both trust and customer service. So, and again, to take your example, if you have this conversation at the beginning, and you're going to deliver something, and maybe it ends up not exactly onto, that's the beginning of a second conversation,
right.
How you can
right.
refine,
right.
And that's there's your repeat customer.
Absolutely. And isn't trust one of the strongest, if not the strongest, well-being emotions? Isn't trust a very strong well-being emotion? And folks, think about your own self. Think about yourself. How do you feel about companies that you know you can trust? And then think about the ones that you can't trust. What's the difference? We're going to talk about this more with Arky C. and Cuddy right after these messages. 10 Tell. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. Dr. Arky C. and Cuddy is our guest. His book is called Built on Trust. And Arky, give us your website, please.
LearningCenter.net.
LearningCenter.net.
One word, .net.
And they can find your book there, too, can't they?
Say it again.
They can find your book at that website, too, can't they? And
yes,
all the other things you do there.
Yes, yes. And you can email me there, Arky, at LearningCenter.net.
Give us an example of some of the things you do for your clients.
Well, we do executive coaching, which is a one-on-one facilitation, and then we work with executives, small companies, large companies, intermediate companies. We work with executive teams all the way down through team leader teams, especially if they're key contributors and you know they're trying to get something done. We have worked with some of the biggest names and some of the biggest Fortune 100 companies, and we've worked with small Native American tribes and. Mm-hmm. And startup companies and hospitality companies.
What would you say would be the single biggest thing that you've accomplished for these companies?
Execution. I would say that what happens there is that there's a dramatically increased execution, especially across the functions and between the departments. And
they built a machine. They had it finally engineered. They had people standing around ready to make it go, but nobody would crank it.
Yes. That's right. And
or if they cranked it, they weren't driving it in the right direction.
Yeah, so where most organizations bleed, again, it's between the functions. That's where all your revenue comes in.
Right, right.
It doesn't come in through marketing.
Not within the departments.
Marketing and product development.
Not within the departments, folks, but as the interfacing of the departments.
That's right. And often there's nobody really watching those
right.
interfaces like there are, you know,
right.
department heads and heads of
functions.
And
that's what
and so
the
forth.
Management's job is, and they're so busy getting responses, getting reports from their divisions, nobody's watching the interplay between the groups, and unfortunately more and more it seems nobody's watching the connection between those departments and customers. And
yeah,
I'm telling you, folks,
in my keynote addresses, Jim, I call that meta management.
Yeah.
I say, well, you have two jobs. You have to manage your business, but you also have to manage the people between the functions and between the departments. And that I call meta management. There's a little bit of skill to it, but not extra time, really, and the payoff is tremendous.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a very – so, folks, today, maybe what you take away from this is realizing that you could have the best salespeople in the world, the best organized salespeople, the best warehouse group. They may be meeting all your goals that you've set for them for their division, but what about the way that they're connecting with each other, and especially with your customers and your prospects? And doesn't trust extend to trusting them with a certain level of authority, so they can make sure that the customer, if there's some certain level of things, of something that the customer needs, that they don't have to get approval for certain things. They can make a decision right there.
Yes, that's important. And along with that authority comes responsibility and accountability and transparency. Now, those are things that are going to help you manage your organizations. It makes it more self-regulating, less micromanagement, less top-heavy, and more self-regulating if you can institute those things. But it all begins with, are you able to harvest the opinions of the people who are packing up the boxes to get your product out the door? Because they have potential improvements that are going to help you and help your customer, but they're not going to say anything if there's a perceived problem between themselves as an individual contributor and their supervisor, or the supervisor and middle management, so all the way up to the owner of or the senior manager of the small business.
They get lockjaw, don't they? I've seen that.
You bet. Because this risk aversion, we've all seen it. It comes from a perceived
right.
consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody takes what should be considered a sound risk, but it fails or partially fails, and they're met with a tremendous consequence. And so that word gets out, and then you have a risk aversion problem.
Yep.
And including speaking up, which is a risk for let's face it.
And I have actually seen people with that affliction while they were waiting on me. I was a customer. I could tell that these people had that affliction you were just talking about, and it was coming across to me as a customer.
Yes.
Folks,
yes.
All this work you do, all this capital you're raising, all the hard work you're doing, all the hopes and promise that you have for your business, if you can't convert all that into a good experience for the customer,
that's correct.
It's all for naught.
Yep,
it's
that's
worth
right.
nothing.
And that's where and of course it will pay off.
Yeah, Archie, thanks for being here. Good job today.
My pleasure.
As always, we look forward to seeing that new book out. By the way, when it comes out.
Yes, we're working hard on it.
Dr. Archie C. Cuddy, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be too, but not this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.